Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures and turn with me to Luke chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7 as we start our Christmas series, Don't Miss Christmas. And as I was saying, in spiritual terms, in Christian terms, this season is often referred to as Advent, which means coming. And it celebrates not only the first coming of Jesus, but it also looks forward to the fact that he promises that he's coming again. And we believe by the signs that we see in the world that his second coming is very near at hand, that we will see it. We who are alive on earth at this time will see his second coming. But that's why we're celebrating throughout the month of December, the entire month up until November 25th. Our focus is going to be on the message of Christmas. So Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, that's what we're going to be reading in just a moment. Don't miss Christmas. This morning's message is titled, Don't Be Distracted. You know, last year, my mother had a stroke 1 week before Christmas, and she ended up having to spend Christmas in the hospital. And some of my family had already flown in from out of town expecting to have Christmas at my home. And so because they were already in town and because it was a sad time and I felt like being with family would be important, it broke my heart that my mother had to miss Christmas, but we went ahead and we had a Christmas dinner. But, you know, it was sad that my mother had to miss Christmas. That was the first Christmas that she had ever missed with us. But, you know, it's an even greater tragedy that countless of millions of people miss Christmas every year. And in this case, I'm not really talking about people missing the holiday called Christmas, but more importantly, missing the reason for Christmas, missing the Christ of Christmas. Every year, countless numbers of people miss the Christ of Christmas for many different reasons. And it was no different that first Christmas when Jesus first came, when he was born in a manger. And this Christmas series considers some of the people involved in the nativity story who either missed out on or nearly missed out on the birth of Jesus. The greatest event in history was taking place in their lifetime, in their country, near to them, the coming of the Savior of the world. And these people missed it. They missed the opportunity to encounter Jesus. They missed the opportunity to experience the salvation, the joy, the hope that he brings. And as we look at these stories over the next several weeks, we discover that many things can keep us from encountering Jesus and experiencing the wonderful life changes that take place as we welcome his presence into our lives. And the first person that we're going to look at who missed Christmas was the innkeeper in Bethlehem. Read with me, if you will, Luke chapter 2. We're reading verses 1 through 7. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the entire Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in the manger because there was no lodging available for them. The King James Version reads, because there was no room for them in the inn. And that's the way we generally remember the story. So the innkeeper, although he's not explicitly named in this passage, he is indirectly implied in the words of verse 7. There was no room for them in the inn. So though he is rarely recognized, he is the first person who missed Christmas. We don't know his name. He makes one appearance in Scripture, and he will be forever remembered as the man who turned Jesus away. The man who turned Jesus away. He is vilified as the hard-hearted Scrooge of the real Christmas story. We think to ourselves, how could he possibly do that? Certainly, if we were the innkeeper, we would have given Mary and Joseph the best room possible. In reality, we might have and often do the same thing the innkeeper did. You see, the innkeeper didn't turn Mary and Joseph away because he was particularly hostile or indifferent towards Jesus or God. He was distressed and distracted by the busyness of all that was going on. As we read, the Roman Emperor Caesar had decreed a census on all Jews. And according to that census, all the Jews had to return to the home of their ancestors. And that's why we find Mary and Joseph returning to the town of Bethlehem. So all of a sudden, this small, sleepy town of Bethlehem would have been bustling with activity, overcrowded with all of the descendants of David's house. So the people had been inconveniently commanded to travel against their will. They were compelled to pay taxes to the Roman government, their oppressors, whom they hated. So many of them were not likely in a good mood making this trip. Even as this Christmas season, you know, they're expected to break travel records and airports will be jam-packed and planes are overbooked and a lot of people, they're traveling to celebrate Christmas, but they're not in a very good mood when they have to go all through all of that in the airports. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, so you can identify with what was going on here. So this tiny town did not have the facilities to accommodate large crowds. There was no Hilton. There were no Holiday Inns. There was not even a Motel 6 in this town. Weary travelers were all scrambling to try to find a place to stay. I saw a cute meme this week, and it's a depiction of Joseph and Mary as they're coming into Bethlehem. She's riding on a donkey. Joseph is walking next to her, and he said, I know, I should have made reservations. I'm sorry. And there's no answer from her, and he's like, I'm sorry. And it says, this is where Silent Night began. Some of you guys may be able to identify. But all of the travelers that have been required to come, they're looking for a place to stay, a room to rent. And by the time Joseph and his pregnant wife arrive, all the guest rooms in the local inns are packed. They had all their no occupancy signs on the door. So you can just imagine that the innkeeper was overwhelmed and overworked, trying to meet the demands of as many people as possible who needed a place to stay when Mary and Joseph came. The innkeeper didn't intend to reject them. He didn't intentionally turn them away. He was just distressed and distracted by all the busyness of the number of people and all that was going on, taking care of his business, the inn, so that even though Jesus was about to be born on his property, he completely missed it. He completely missed it. There was no room for him in the innkeeper's inn. There was no room in his schedule. There was no room in his life for Jesus. So he missed it. And the same is true today. Many people do not miss Christmas because they are necessarily opposed to Christ or steeped in some terrible sinful lifestyle, but rather because they are distressed and distracted by busyness and business. So there's no room for Jesus. No room for Jesus in their life. And we can be guilty of the same. Being so busy, so dedicated to work and career and getting ahead, that we can miss Jesus in our life as well. So a couple of principles I want us to see from this Christmas story is busyness can cause us to miss Christmas. And when I talk about missing Christmas, I'm talking about missing the opportunity to encounter and know Christ, to experience Christ. Busyness can keep us from knowing Christ, from encountering Christ. Why? Because our lives are so consumed with activities. Not necessarily sinful activities, just stuff that keeps us constantly busy. Life was not like this 20 or 30 years ago. How many of you remember that? Now the pace of life is constant, 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 constant. Hustle and bustle, always on the go. The innkeeper was busy with a rush of guests, a full inn, and all that needed to be done. He didn't mean to turn Jesus away. There was just no room. There was no room in his inn. There was no room in his life. And life can get so crazy for us with a relentless list of things to do. That busyness is exasperated by the Christmas season. We're already busy, but now here's the Christmas season, and we're on the hunt for sales, and there's long lines in the store, and we're on the quest to get just the right gifts, and we have to decorate the house, and we're hosting family, and there are meals to prepare, and there are holiday functions to attend, etc. Even without Christmas, the pace of people's life today is incredibly fast, as somehow we pack our schedules with more and more and more stuff to do. We find ourselves frustrated, frazzled, but we keep on going with endless activities. Many people find themselves living by the adage, there's just not enough hours in the... How many of you have said that? How many of us live that as a reality? There's just not enough hours in the day. We live in a hurry-up world, and then we find ourselves wondering, where has the time gone? Because life is just flying by, and we don't seem to be getting done the things of real value. And the busier we make our schedules, the more we close the door on Jesus in our lives. We just don't have time. We love you, Jesus. You're important. But we just don't have time. Hallelujah. When our schedule is packed, usually one of the first things to go is God. No time for church. No time for ministry. No time to pray. No time to read the word. No time to fellowship with other Christians. The first thing to go is God. So you see, in reality, we may be a whole lot more like the innkeeper than we'd like to admit. Michael Altshuler, an authority in value-centered living, made a powerful statement. He said, "The bad news is that time flies. The good news is that we're the pilot. We control our time, what we do with it, how we spend it. We have the ability to choose what we do with our time. And you know what? We make time for what is important to us. If fitness is important, we prioritize getting up early and taking a run or going to the gym. If having our kids in sports is important, we make the time to run them all over town to extracurricular activities and practices. But then we find a hard time to bring them out for youth group or to bring them out for children's church or Royal Rangers or girls' ministry. But we get them there for football. We get them there for cheerleading. We get them there for basket weaving 101. If that's even a class, they'll catch up with some of you in a moment. And then we wonder why, when they grow up, God's not important to them. We make time for what is important to us. Or in other words, we make room in our lives for what we value. We make room in our lives for what we value. But too often, our busy schedule is telling Jesus, there is no room for you because we have no time. We have no time. What fills our schedule reveals our heart. What fills our schedule reveals our heart. How we spend our time reveals our values and our priorities. When we realize that we would have no time if it were not for God, then we realize that He deserves all the time that we have. Amen. Let me tell you something. The very next breath you breathe is from Him. You would have no time at all if it were not for God. And there's going to come a day when He's going to say, this is your last day. This is your last breath. And what have we done with all of our breaths leading up to that. Every breath we take comes from God. Our life comes from Him. All the time we have comes from Him. He deserves the time we have. And when we busy ourselves with the pursuits of this present life only, we are neglecting the preparation for eternity, and we are robbing ourselves of the best life possible here on earth. There's a tale of a man who was visited by an angel. And the angel urged the man to pray and seek God. But the man said to the angel, "Not now. Don't you see how busy I am? I don't have time." Sometime later, a second angel came and visited the man and brought a message encouraging the man, "You need to go to church. You need to worship the Lord. You need to get involved in ministry. You need to serve the Lord." And the man said, "I'm too busy. I don't have time for church. I don't have time to be involved in ministry. Don't you see all the things I have to do?" Some time passed, and a third angelic messenger came. But this time, it was the angel of death. And the angel bid the man to come with him. But the man gruffly responded, "I don't have time to go with you. Don't you see how much I still yet have to do?" "Ah," said the angel, "but this time, this one invitation, you have no choice in the matter. When I come, you must go." You know, we can live our life thinking, "One day, Jesus, I'm going to get around to seeking you. One day, I'm going to get around to attending church. One day, I'm going to get around to serving you." But one day never seems to come. And we just keep pushing Him further down the line, further down the line. But one day, that last messenger is going to come for us. And one day, we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And He's going to say, "Tell me what you did with your life. Tell me what you did with the time that I gave you." Come on now, folks. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The question is, when the time comes for us to depart this life, will we be ready to meet the Lord? Everything that keeps us so busy now is temporary. I tell you, some of us, we slave for our jobs, right? Get sick and not be able to go into work for a few weeks. And see how quick they replace you. But we give all of our time to our job, often neglecting God. And we can be replaced in a flash. Everything that keeps us so busy now is temporary. And one day it will all be left behind. And so that means that we're all busy doing nothing. Because whatever we're doing has no value in eternity if it's not serving Christ. It's awful quiet in here. Hallelujah. A man was visiting a psychiatric hospital and he saw a patient pulling a needle through a piece of fabric, pulling a needle. But there was no knot in the end of the thread. But the patient just kept busily sewing away, pushing and pulling the needle through the fabric. But it was all a waste of time because not even one stitch held. We would call that crazy, right? But that's how many of us live. We are so busy pushing and pulling with all the activities that keep us busy, that keep us apart from Christ, and none of it is going to mean anything in eternity. One day, when the end comes, only one thing will matter, and that is our relationship with the Lord and what we have done for Christ, what we have done for Christ. So you see, busyness can cause us to miss Christ. It can cause us to miss the opportunity to experience the salvation that he wants to bring to us. It can cause us to miss the joy, the hope, and the meaning that it brings. It can cause us from experiencing the relationship that he desires for us. It can keep us from the meaning and purpose he has for our life, the ministry calling that he has for each and every one of us. So let me ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud, but think of it deeply in your soul. Are you too busy for Jesus? Are you too busy for Jesus? Is there no room in your schedule for him? But you know what? Busyness is not the only culprit that keeps us from Jesus. Business can cause us to miss Christmas. The innkeeper was so preoccupied with his business that even though Jesus was being born on his property, feet from where he was located, the innkeeper missed the most glorious event in history. It was so close that he shouldn't have missed it, and yet he did. And so many people today miss Jesus for the same reason. We miss Jesus when we are preoccupied with materialism. The innkeeper's inn was packed. His business was booming. He was going to make a lot of money because of the Roman census. And we miss Jesus when we become preoccupied with materialism. American writer Frederick Buchner expresses it well in the dramatized account of the innkeeper's thinking. Speaking in the first person, the account says, "I speak to you as men of the world," said the innkeeper, "not as idealists, but as realists. Do you know what it's like to run an inn, to run a business, a family, to run anything in the world for that matter, even your own life? It's like being lost in a forest of a million trees," said the innkeeper. "And each tree is another thing to be done. Is there fresh linen on the beds? Did the children put on their coats before they went out? Has that letter been written? Has that book been read? Is there money enough in the bank to pay the bills? Today, we have food in our bellies and clothes on our back, but what can we do to make sure that we will have them tomorrow?" A million trees, a million things to be done everywhere you look. "Finally," he said, "we have our eyes for nothing else, and whatever we see turns into another tree. Something else to be done. We just keep finding more things to do." That is such a powerful and apt description of life. We can always find something else to do when our eyes are on this world. The innkeeper's business was booming. The Roman taxation was an incredible financial opportunity for him. The town was packed. He could charge premium rate. You know how it is in South Florida, right? During the winter, hotel rates double because we got all the snowbirds coming down, escaping the cold up north. So a room you could have paid $150 for in the summer is now $300. Well, that's what this innkeeper's probably doing. He's like, "Man, my rooms are in high demand, so I can make a lot of money due to this taxation." And so he wanted to make the best impression he could on his guests because this is at the high season, and he was going to be booked. So he wanted to provide the best service so the next time they were in town in Bethlehem, they would want to stay with him. And maybe if he gave them good service, they would give him a 5-star review on Yelp. Oh, maybe they didn't have that back then. But anyhow, he wanted to give them the best service. At the very least, hopefully by word of mouth, they would tell others, "When you're in the Bethlehem area, stay in that inn." So he just didn't have time for the trouble of finding a place for a pregnant woman. And then, you know, if she's going to go into labor, all of her screams and a crying baby, that's just not good for business. He was preoccupied by materialism. He loved money more than he loved the master. Running a business working hard, making a living, and wanting a better life is not necessarily something bad. But when it becomes more important than God, when it fills our schedule so busy that we have no time for God, then it becomes sinful. I've shared the story before, but there was a young man in our congregation many years ago that he and his wife were on fire for God. They had even led ministries in our church and what have you. But, you know, they had a baby. They wanted a better life. They wanted to buy a house. And so he was looking for a way to increase their income. So he decided that he was going to start a business in the evening, work his job in the day till the business took off, and that way he could make a better life for his family. Not necessarily something wrong, but because he had this job that was consuming his time, not only in the day, but now he had this business at night, guess what? No time for God. And you could see the few times that he came to church after starting that, because they were here before. They were here every Sunday morning. They were here Wednesday nights. They were involved in ministry. But after he started that job, you barely saw him. And before he started that business, when he would come, he would worship, he would enter in. But after he started that business and he had barely any time for God, the few times that he came to church, you could see a marked difference in the way that he just sat and did not engage in God's presence, to the point that I called him to the side one day and I said, you know, I'm very concerned about your spiritual condition. You know, you're so busy that you hardly have time for God. No, Pastor, I'm fine. I'm telling you, I'm good. And as soon as the business takes off, you're going to see me back. Da, 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 da. It wasn't but a short while later, his business started to grow. He hired a woman to help him in his business in the evenings. And it wasn't a short time before he and her were involved in an affair. And he destroyed his marriage, his family, for which he was trying to make a better life. But you see, when you start to neglect God, it opens a door for the enemy. It opens a door for sin in your life. Jesus said we cannot serve God and material things. Because either we will love the one and hate the other, or you will be devoted to the one and you will despise the other. What he's saying is you can only have one master. Either God will be the master of your life or material things will be the master of your life, but you can't serve both. Now, if you make God the master of your life and put him in the right priority, he will bless the works of your hand. It's not that God doesn't want you to prosper, but God wants to be in the first place in your life, the priority of your life. Amen? But the choice is ours. And the innkeeper made his choice when he turned Jesus away. What choice will you make? What choice will you make? And I'm not talking about just turning Jesus away as our Savior, but turning away time in prayer, turning him away by not having time to gather for worship in his house, turning him away by not having time to be able to minister or serve in ministry in his house. All of those are things that turn Jesus away. We miss Jesus when we are preoccupied with worldly things. The innkeeper was more interested in the stuff of the world than the Savior of the world. Mary and Joseph came to his door. God came right to his door. Jesus was born on his property right under his nose, and he missed it all together. Jesus said it this way: and what does it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and yet loses his soul? To gain the whole world is to achieve or obtain what the world has to offer: money, fame, success, power. What does it benefit you to gain all of that if you lose your soul? You might have seen on the news how in 2010, there was a man named Forrest Fenn. He was an eccentric millionaire who launched a treasure hunt when he announced that he had hidden $1 million treasure in a chest in the Rocky Mountains. And he published a poem that had the clues to find the treasure chest. The poem had 24 lines, each one of them a clue to find the treasure chest. And you know what? Tens of thousands of people set out to climb the Rocky Mountains, to search in difficult terrain, to find the treasure. Some of them obsessively, leaving their jobs, leaving their families to find this $1 million treasure. In fact, many got injured. Five ended up tragically losing their lives in the pursuit of finding the $1 million treasure. But even as great a tragedy as it was for those five people to lose their life, an even greater tragedy is the millions of people who will lose their soul in the meaningless pursuit for the stuff of this world. The innkeeper missed his opportunity to meet the Savior because he was too preoccupied with the stuff of this world. There's nothing wrong with gaining success. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. There's nothing wrong with gaining fame, as long as it is in God's will, and as long as God remains the priority of your life, and as long as we use what he blesses us with for his glory and honor. But if we leave God out of the equation and pursue those things outside of God's will, and we use them selfishly, it will end up costing us our souls. You know, I'm reminded of the story of a man who walked into a doctor's office and the receptionist asked, "What do you have?" The man said, "Shingles." So she took his name, address, insurance information, and told him, "Please have a seat." 15 minutes later, a nurse's aide came and asked the man, "What do you have?" He said, "Shingles." She asked for his height, his weight, any medical history, any medications, and she told him to wait in an exam room. Half hour later, a nurse came and asked the man, "What do you have?" And he said, "Shingles." So she gave him a blood test. She took his blood pressure. She took his temperature. She told him to take off his clothes, to put on a robe, and to wait for the doctor. An hour later, the doctor came and asked the man, "What do you have?" The man said, "Shingles." The doctor said, "Where?" The man said, "Out on my truck. Where do you want me to put them?" Everybody was so busy, mindlessly doing all the things that they were used to doing, that they missed the very reason the man was there. You know, in the same way, we can be so distracted by busyness and business that we miss the Christ of Christmas. We miss the opportunity to know Jesus, to walk with him, to experience his salvation, his joy, his hope, his peace. We miss the opportunity of partnering together with him in ministry, to serve him in touching lives. We miss the opportunity to live the life of meaning and purpose that God is calling us to live, because we just don't have room. We are so busy, our schedule is so consumed. Will we make room for Jesus in our life? The first step, of course, to make room for Jesus is to repent of our sins and to invite him into our lives through faith. All of us are sinners. Sin separated us from God. That's the whole reason that Jesus came. That's the whole reason for Christmas. It's the whole reason Jesus originally came to earth. He came, God in human flesh. He lived a sinless life. And then he offered that life for us on the cross, paid the penalty for sin that we deserved, so that when we repent of our sins and place our faith in Jesus, we can be forgiven, we can be made spiritually alive, and we can have a relationship with God. And if you're here today and you have never repented of your sins, the word repent simply means to turn away from. We recognize we've been headed in the wrong direction. We've been heading in a path with disregard to God that leads to destruction. We don't want to live that way anymore. So we turn around and we say, "God, forgive me of all of that, and I invite you into my life. I want to live for you. That's what repentance is. And the moment we repent and place our faith in Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says we're born again. We're made spiritually alive. We are forgiven, and we are brought into right relationship with God. So if you're here today or you're listening online and you have never repented of your sins or placed your faith in Jesus, or maybe you gave your heart to Christ some years ago and you've drifted away and you know it's time to come back, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And this prayer is the first step to opening the door to make room for Jesus in our life. Would you pray this prayer for me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life. And I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I invite you to come live inside of me and to help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life. And that prayer is a beginning and not an ending. It's the beginning of a lifelong relationship with God. We want to help you to continue on in your spiritual journey by sending you free of charge a little booklet that will help you understand that prayer and the next steps to take so you can continue to grow in the Lord. But in order to send that booklet to you free of charge, we need your email address. So we're going to ask you to do something. If you're in-house and you prayed that prayer, there's a number on the screen. Just type "I prayed" and text it to that number on the screen. If you're online and you just prayed that prayer, type "I prayed" in the comments, hit send, and a little later today you're going to get a response message with a link. Click on that link, fill in your name and email address so that we can send you this little booklet free of charge to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ. But once again, we congratulate you and we encourage you and all Christians to do three things to keep growing in your relationship with the Lord. One, talk to God every day. Start by thanking Him for the good things in your life, because every good thing comes from Him. And then talk to Him about whatever problems, difficulties, needs, or decisions you're making, and ask His help. Always ask His help in your life. At a very basic level, that's prayer. It's talking to God. He's your heavenly Father. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Secondly, let God talk to you. You say, how does God talk to us, Pastor? The number one way God talks to us is through the Bible, His Word. It's His message to us. If you don't have a printed Bible, I encourage you to download the YouVersion app on your phone. That's YOUVersion, the YouVersion app on your phone. It's free. You can always read there as often as you want for free. There's never a charge. And so we encourage you to download that app. Start reading in 1 John. Before you read the Bible, ask God to help you understand what you're reading. Just read 4 or 5 verses. And whatever stands out to you, then ask God to help you apply it in your life. Do that every day. And then the third thing, get connected to a local church. And by getting connected, it means not only attending regularly, but it means to build relationships within that church, because it's those relationships that are going to help encourage us, pray with us, be an example for us, and guide us along our journey. So do those three things and you will have a growing relationship with the Lord. And of course, if you're in the South Florida area, we encourage you to come and get connected right here at New Life. We have a wonderful church family that will walk alongside of you, encourage you, pray with you, and be there for you. So we encourage you to get connected. Amen. For those of us who are already believers, I want to ask you a question. Are you making room for Jesus daily in your life, or are you too busy for Him? Will you make Him your priority, choosing daily to make time first for Him, to seek Him, to spend time with Him, to worship Him, to read His Word, to pray? Will you make time to do that daily? And will you make time in your life to be a part of His church? The church is God's idea, not man's idea. The church is God's will for each believer, that we would be involved in a local church, that we would build relationships in that church, that we would gather together for worship with our church family, that we would be involved in ministry. You say, I don't have time. One day when life is less hectic, well, as we said earlier, time flies. But we're the pilot. Won't you choose today to make room for Jesus? Bow your heads with me right now. Heavenly Father, I pray with you that right now you would take your word that has been preached and you would just deal with each one of our hearts. Show us, Lord God, any area in which we have made ourselves too busy for you, Lord God. Show us where we have pushed you to the side and made our schedule so busy that we have no room for you in our lives. And as you show it to us, convict us of it. May we confess it, Lord God. And may we commit ourselves today to make room for you, to make time for you in our schedules, that you would be first in our schedules, that we would not be distracted by the busyness of this world and of life. I want to ask you right now, if you want to make a fresh commitment to God to say, Lord, I want to make room for you in my life. I don't want to be so busy that I push you to the side or treat you as second place. I want you to be the priority of my life and in my time. If that's your heart's desire, would you just stand and come to the altar for a few moments and just let's make a commitment fresh to the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.